is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. If you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. Choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin.
So at the end of his presser yesterday, C.J. Stroud asked for prayers for Trevor Lawrence, and he prayed for him to be okay, sent well wishes to his family, obviously defended his own guy, Azeez Al-Shaair. Doesn't believe he did it on purpose. So your star quarterback had thoughts, as you might imagine, C.J., very classy, always saying the right thing. Here's DeMeco Ryans on the hit and obviously the aftermath.
Unfortunate with the hit with Azeez. It's that's not what we're coaching. It's just want to be smart in everything we do and not hurt the team. Get a penalty there. We just have to be smarter when the quarterback is going down. Just an unfortunate play, not representative of who Azeez is. Like, Azeez is a smart player, really great leader for us, and you know we felt his presence not being there, not his loss, it really affected us on the defensive side. Just not what we're coaching. I didn't want to see the melee and all of the aftermath. That's not what we're about. Just not representative of us. So I'll talk to Azeez, address him personally, and we'll move forward from it.
The melee is one thing. That is a understandable reaction from the Jags, and obviously once they start piling on Azeez Al-Shaair, Texans are going to get involved. Reason goes out the window. Doesn't matter who's at fault at that point. But I would say that the Azeez hit is representative of who the Texans are. Not that they're dirty, but they're undisciplined. Undisciplined shows up in multiple ways. It could be a personal foul penalty. It could be lining up all sides like Kate Stover did. I believe that was him. Those things happen to undisciplined football teams. We talked about it on this show. The Texans are, at least under DeMeco Ryans, are one of the more penalized teams in the NFL. It was a thing in 2023. It's a thing this year. So I would say Azeez Al-Shaair didn't do anything as far as discipline that the Texans have shown. He didn't do anything different from what they've shown. This is who they are. Until proven otherwise, they're going to be a team who does undisciplined things at their worst moments. Sometimes you're going to be able to overcome because you're playing a bad football team. Other times it's going to cost you. And it nearly cost you against the Jags. Thankfully for them, they are able to grind out clock and go win that game with their offense, getting stops. And maybe DeMeco was dead on in one spot. It did change the way their defense played because Mac Jones, particularly in the second half, and really mostly only in the second half, found openings as the Texans weren't in prevent per se, but they weren't looking to give up big plays. And Mac Jones was able to find guys underneath. Brian Thomas turned one of them into a big play. But that team was able to find holes in a Texans secondary that was playing a little looser. And I guess I understand it, considering if the Jags were better at quarterback, including Trevor Lawrence, they would have got beat deep at least a couple times. So I get it. As you're trying to hold on to a lead, you're not going to be as aggressive as you want to be because you can't trust those guys. Even Stingley, who made a great play recovering, he was beat. Trevor Lawrence, whether you blame it on the shoulder injury that kept him out coming into the game or just throwing late, he missed the guy. Same stuff he did in the first game against the Texans. It's the same thing a lot of teams have done. That's why going into the Tennessee game, the Texans were one of the best teams in the league defending the chunk plays in the air because guys missed. And it happened again yesterday. Still almost found a way to lose. Let's get the Pena here. We'll try to get out at a reasonable time. And we didn't talk about the one team who is showing out, the Rockets. Got a big win over the Thunder. We'll talk about that. Big game for Fred VanVleet. But first, let's get the Pena. What's up?
Yo, what up, Dale? Hey, man. I've always believed that John Mays has been a superior producer. This is why they fired Andrew Carlson, because he sold my slips Friday. I had two slips. All I need was him to make one more kick. That dude sold me, man. Andrew Carlson, if you're hearing this, you suck, man. Hook him horn.
If you don't know, the Raiders have a kicker named Daniel. Or is that Anders? Which one do they have?
Daniel.
They have Daniel Carlson.
One of Andrew's
brothers. Part of the Carlson legacy at Auburn.
Yeah.
Now, Andrew, black sheep, wound up at University of Houston. And he's not a kicker either. But, yes.
Play soccer.
He does love football. He does love soccer.
Makes you wonder.
But I don't think he morphed into Anders Carlson, who is 6'5". Andrew has some qualities as far as fitness, but he ain't 6'5".
No.
No, he is not that. So, sorry, Pena, who loves to voice his displeasure, whether we are at fault, he thinks, as far as one of his bets are concerned, or the players are involved. He loves to call in and talk about that. I understand, but I can't blame Daniel or Anders or Andrew for this. It's more of a Daniel thing and more of a you thing. Sorry.
I think
he did go 1-for-4, which is awful.
Oh, that's you know what? Andrew catches some of that.
He's not related. At least I don't think
just,
he's related.
Just, you just catch some of that.
He has a Nordic look to him, but he is the one brother who
Nordic
is...
Nordic look to
yeah,
him.
Yeah, Carl, yeah. He has a Nordic look
no,
to
I'm
him.
No, I'm not disagreeing. It's just a funny way of phrasing that he's white and blonde.
I used it because Carlson sounds Swedish.
Oh.
If he was white and blonde, but his name was Johnson, I wouldn't say he had a Nordic look to him. But Anders feels like a Swedish name or Norwegian name. I'll look it up. Andrew, not so much. But Carlson, I think, is one of those names that from that part of the world.
You're right. You don't have to. Yeah, no. That is the part of the world it comes from.
Scandinavian. He has a Scandinavian look to him. We've all seen Andrew, at least me and you.
Yeah.
If I was going to put something on him, I go, if you told me you're from Norway, I believe it. Well, I know you're from here, the great state of Texas. I think. 23andMe, Andrew Carlson. Hopefully Andrew's doing well.
I don't think he'll say Houston, Texas. I think it'll mostly be Scandinavian.
Hopefully Andrew's doing well. I know.
Missing those kicks. He's not doing well.
Or your brother, at least. Talk to your brother. Carlson paying him
money. I mean, Anders is very close to the name Andrew, where it does lead me to think maybe this is a pseudonym. He's assuming.
Or Anders is the struggling kicker for the Jets.
Mm.
Who was struggling in Green Bay is now a Jet. They had to get rid of their young kicker because he stunk. He's actually kicking pretty well for the Jets.
And where does Will Levis fall in all this?
As far as a Nordic look?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he looks like Andrew.
Sure. But his name is Levis, which I don't know the origins.
Couldn't tell you. He does have a Nordic look.
Yes. But unless your name's not Carlson and you don't have a brother named Anders, so I'm not going to drop that on you. It all comes together. Will Levis beat the Texans in their building. Maybe we don't mention him for the foreseeable future until they see them again. All right. We'll come back with some Rockets talk. Big win for them. As if it matters. I know it doesn't, but we'll pretend like it does. Within a half game of the Oklahoma City Thunder for number one in the West after their win. Credit to Fred VanVleet. We'll get to that when we come back. But first, I want to talk about Monument Chevrolet. It's been 50 years they've been in the business. And you know what that means? They're doing something right. You want a car, particularly a Chevy, go to Monument Chevrolet. Check out what they have to offer at monumentchevrolet.com. So here's the thing. Whether you want a new car or pre-owned or you own a business and you need to add something to your fleet or start your fleet, they've got you. Sixth largest fleet in the country. So whatever you might need, a van or truck is out there for you to get your business going. Remember, they have these monthly offers you need to check out. The big ones going on right now at Monument Chevrolet is 1.9% financing on a new 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab Rally Sport Truck with a 5.3-liter engine. Or you can choose an all-new electric vehicle with 0% financing for 60 months for well-qualified buyers. Whether you want a Colorado or a Silverado, check them all out at monumentchevrolet.com and then go out there, 3940 Pasadena Freeway off of Beltway 8 and 225. The price is the price. What you see on the website will be the same price you see once you check out the cars in person. They're going to welcome you to the family. They want you to be part of their family for generations. They want to sell a car to you, to your kids, to your grandkids. That's the type of family that they want to build. Once you go out there, you're going to feel it too. MonumentChevrolet.com is the website. 3940 Pasadena Freeway off of Beltway 8 and 225 is where you go. And remember, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Sam, our social media manager, went to an Usher concert and was shocked by his antics. Shocked. She could not believe what she subjected herself to.
Yes, she said the, and this is another point of contention that I think we had to have mentioned this on the show. If not, definitely when she was on the show. She did say that the four Usher songs that she knew, Usher delivered.
Well.
Which is funny in two ways. A, it's like, yeah, stick to the music, Usher. B, she only knew four Usher songs. That's funny.
We had this talk.
Yeah.
When she told me initially about the concert, you know this man has a large catalog. He's going to be up there for a couple hours. You don't know anything more than this? And she was like,
there might be
three
like
or four.
30 minutes between songs, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably not how you'll sync with, like, you know, divvy them up, but there could have been.
Yeah. And the, I guess she didn't like, polls were dropped.
Yeah.
She does. I guess she was unaware of what he's up to.
Usher's hands was reaching for
parts
of himself.
Of himself.
In fairness.
Yes. He was not groping women. He was
other
groping
people,
himself.
Yeah.
And she did not expect that, I would say.
No. She said, keep it between the lines, Usher.
I would say, do your research.
Yes.
As always, do your research.
More pearl clutching. Pearl clutching.
Understood.
Sam's review of the Usher concert, the flag planting discourse, or the Aziz Al-Shaair discourse.
Ooh,
who's clutching the most pearls?
Well, Sam is a one woman pearl clutching army, so I don't think she can match what's going on with the other two topics. I would say when you include Daryl Johnston, who got in on both. After the Aziz hit led to him talking about all the disrespect going on in football over the weekend.
He did a What Happened to the Game I Love?
Pretty much. I would say, I think the flag planting, because Kirk Herbstreit is talking about punishments.
I mean Gus
Johnson,
Joel Klatt, you would have thought that, like,
you don't disrespect with the flag planting. I think flag planting goes to the top.
Yes.
The Aziz hit is second. The Sam thing is funnier because it's in person, this person kind of dealing
with
it.
Much lower stakes.
Yes, yes.
I think you have it in the right order, because the flag planting, pearl clutching, like, you're just kind of wrong. Like, I'm sorry, you're just wrong on being upset about that.
Like, this show is firmly on the side of do it. But deal with the consequences.
I think America's on the side of do it.
Not some parts of America, namely broadcaster parts of America.
But, okay. The thing is, though, broadcasters, let's fast forward 5 years. Do you know what will be on the Michigan-Ohio State promo for the 2032 edition of the game on Big Noon Saturday? he'll be the fight after the game.
What makes you say that? Every time they show big moments in the rivalry, they show like Charles Woodson getting punched in the face and then responding with another punch in the face.
Yes. Yes, it's always that. It's always like these teams playing don't like each other. Look at them. Look at them yelling at each other.
When him and David Boston are going back and forth, they're jabbing each other in the face. They always bring that up. But now the flag planting is taking it too far. Disrespect during the game, while you can swing on a guy, is cool. The flag planting leading to a back and forth, which turned into pepper spraying a couple guys. That's probably a little much from the officers, but hey, they're in the middle of it, I guess.
Yeah.
That's too much. The pushing, the shoving, the snatching of the flag planting too far.
When Arizona State play, honestly, I don't even have to go 5-10 years in the future. Like, the next time they play at that stadium, at Ohio Stadium or at Tucson or whatever, they're going to be, remember the last time they were here? Oh, they tried to plant the flag. They tried to plant a trident. Even when Florida State's 2-10, even they have respect for their midfield logo.
Yeah.
It's like, and all these guys are going to transfer out and have just transferred here, but because that's how
it'll
Mike
be
Norvell
part
runs
of
things.
It'll be part of the pregame package of the game. The opening montage of events that led to big moments in the rivalry, those will be part of them. The fighting, the flag planting, all of it, and they will feature it the next time Ohio State Michigan play. It'll be what we see, and if Ohio State wins and they go and try to plant their flag, oh, this is in response to this. And
exactly.
That's what it is.
It's the same thing as when, and I just say because I know, because it gets reported after the fact that the SEC they do the fines for when you storm the court.
Uh-huh.
And then they turn around and in the promotional video for the SEC, 16 teams, one nation, under united, and it just means more. And what do they include when they show the passion of SEC fans? And they show court storming and field storming that got fined.
Sure. You can't trick this show.
Yeah, come on. I know this is what you want, Joel Klatt. You're not better than this.
As much as you talk about how it's a porridge.
Oh, it's a dark stain.
Yeah,
on a
great rivalry.
Shut up.
And yet, it will be a main focus of your next broadcast. And as we said, Michigan-Ohio State ain't just great theater because of the actual football is being played. You highlight the hate. You highlight the moments that go overboard.
Because all that happens in this rivalry, for my entire life, until 2021, Michigan just lost. They would walk into the last game of the season and Ohio State.
I'm older than Sean, and before that was a run where Michigan would always beat Ohio State. It led to John Cooper, a very successful coach, getting fired because he could not beat them.
And now we're in a point where now Michigan has run up 4 straight.
Yes.
This is just what happened. They happen in streaks that drives the other fan base insane. It drives the other coach, it drives Ryan Day at least insane. You could make the argument that it drove Jim Harbaugh insane too.
He resorts to cheating to make
not
sure.
Not this time, as Gus Johnson brought up before he basically was acting like the Titanic happened in front of him.
Between the final kneel down and the fight, Gus Johnson was singing the praises of Romo. They said he cheated last year.
It was even more like, oh my god, it was like, and Michigan gets to say, ha ha, we didn't cheat this time. And you're just like,
what a statement.
Yeah, and then 30 seconds later,
you don't
like,
plant the
fire. Oh, the humanity of this.
Everyone relax. It's not the first time, and won't be the last time that these things happen during rivalry week. It's part of the game. You guys always pretend like it's the worst thing that's ever happened to the sport. And we move on, and we'll be talking about the championship games this week.
Yeah.
And then on Monday after the games play on Saturday.
I hope they plant flags on the championship game.
We can only hope, right?
SMU, we own Charlotte.
SMU trying to win an ACC title in their first year.
Yeah.
And it could determine who is the final team in the playoff picture.
Honestly, all the new teams, because Oregon's in the Big Ten title game. Texas in the SEC title game.
Do we get a clean sweep? All the new teams win their conference.
They you know what they should do? They should run out there and plant a flag when they do. Arizona State, we own the Big 12.
But no, yeah, another
new
team.
We run Dallas.
We will see what transpires on Saturday throughout the day. It's going to be a big weekend or big day of college football on that Saturday. Actually, the Pac-12 game on Friday normally is. Did they switch it to Saturday?
Or is the
Mountain West game on?
I thought I had
kind of moved the Pac-12.
The Mountain West, yeah.
Yeah, the Mountain West. I had to think of one West Coast conference, and I just didn't think of the Mountain West. I just inserted the Pac-12 there because that's normally the day.
I will say, I feel we talk a lot about college football on the show. I feel like that is the first true conference mistake that we've made.
Yeah,
that's fully left our mouth.
I thought I was done. I thought I had kind of situated that. I figured that out early in September, but nope, yeah. It happened.
Boise State, UNLV.
That's the Friday.
That's on Friday.
That's the Fox Friday
so
slot.
Tulane Army.
It used to be the Pac-12. Now it's the Mountain West. They got me. Thought I was out.
Yeah, they're
pulled me back in.
They're all playing the traditional spot. Big 12 in the morning.
SEC
and
even,
then the two
even
night
on
games.
A different network yeah. in the middle of the afternoon. Yeah, where what we're used to, except there's no more Pac-12. They had their title game last weekend where Oregon yes. State won. Yes. Okay, we were going to get to the Rockets until Sean decided to commandeer the show and talk college football.
No. We talked Usher.
I started that, and I thought that would lead to some.
You know what else happened at Toyota Center?
Yeah, a Rockets giant win.
Sorry.
Instead, we went to college football. Willie, I see you. You want to talk soccer. We will get to the Rockets. That was a really good win. Competitive game. Back and forth, you had a real MVP candidate on the other side, and the Rockets just doing it through Fred VanVleet and the power of friendship. What a win. Are the Rockets great? I don't know, but they play a brand of basketball that is tough to play against, and they got another big win. We'll go through some of the moments of the game yesterday as we're talking now about a team. We're talking, what is it, 20-plus games in? Half a game out of first place in the West. Maybe they're no longer. Oh, this is a nice story. Maybe they got a chance to do something special. We'll get into that. We'll get to Willie P when we come back. But first, let's talk about Super Happy Incredible Toys. They had their event on Sunday. I hope you guys went yesterday. I know maybe you guys were focused on the Texans, but that's a place you go to. They did it with St. Arnold Brewery. And it was an event where you got to see the best in toys and action figures and local artists. So maybe you're like people on this show and you like Marvel. Maybe you like DC. Maybe you're a Transformers person. That's what they had to offer. And they have that out at Super Happy Incredible Toys. I went to the shop a couple weeks ago now. And it's a place for the community. A lot of the things they get are from people in the community. And they welcome you out there. You can hang out. You can shop. You can certainly meet the guys out there and just talk. About really nostalgia. You hear it in the spots that we're now playing, and the name tells you. You want to feel good? You want to remember things that were great when you were a kid? Go out there. And, of course, if you have children, it's a good place for you guys to go out there, too. It's in the Heights, 221 East 11th in the Heights. And from the vintage video games, the vintage toys, they have it all. And they have art by local artists in the shop that you can buy. In fact, the owner, or one of the owners, is an artist himself, so you can see his art on display as well. So it's a great place to go out there. You can hang out. They have events out there, and maybe you just want to buy something for Christmas and remind yourself of what it was like to be a kid. Super Happy Incredible Toys. You can check them out at Super Happy Incredible Toys on Instagram. They have a Facebook page you can check out as well and see what they have to offer. Their toy show is on Sunday. You can check out a lot of those toys at the shop. Super Happy Incredible Toys.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
I don't know if it'll just be fodder the rest of the year, well, at least until the trade deadline, about the Rockets looking to improve their team by making a trade. But if you look at the team that they currently put on the floor, I guess you ask yourself, why would you make a move right now? You have one of the better teams in basketball. You play a style that is relatively unique in the NBA, where you allow your defense to kind of set up everything you do. Now, they had a good night shooting from Fred VanVleet. Jalen Green didn't take a lot of shots. It wasn't his night coming off a big night in his last game against Philly. He was great against the Sixers. This one against a better opponent, didn't have it going, didn't shoot the ball a lot, and his backcourt mate played great, made big threes down the stretch, was confident taking shots. And the Rockets do what they always do. Dylan Brooks got to a big rebound. It was, I think, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had secured a defensive rebound. Just Dylan Brooks tied him up. It led to a jump ball, a little scuffle. Not much, not to the Azeez Ogier Jaguars-Texans thing, but a little pushing and shoving because the guys got tied up on the held possession. Guys were pretty much going, yeah, this is what we like. This is the type of basketball we like. But that possession, that tied up possession, led to the Rockets gaining possession, knocking down a jumper. I think Dylan Brooks knocked it down. They found ways to make the plays late to win. And as I said before we went to break, they're now only a half game out of the one seed. And I just put that out there because it's context to what they've done. You wouldn't say this team has an all-star, right? There's not an all-star on this team. And one of my contentions as far as their expectations were, can you win 50 games without an all-star? In some cases, you need two, if you look around the league, or to be a real contender. So the question is, we know, so far, they're a good basketball team in the regular season. Do they believe they can be great? And that's why all the trade rumors still pop up. I think because they set themselves up as a team willing to look, that people will continue to talk about them. The dream of acquiring a star is something the Rockets have been open with, at least through sources. So anytime a story needs to be written, it's going to be about who can the Rockets add to this roster to be a serious contender.
And every time a team that has a star goes on a five-game losing streak, it's Bovada has put out the odds of his most likely team, and the Rockets are in the top three.
And it also helps that they have the assets to make a trade, young players
that
and
helps.
Picks.
Yes.
They fit the profile of a team who could pull off one of those moves. Now, who you think is the right answer for a potential move? Who's the right player? I don't find it very appealing that some of the guys are in their mid-30s. I'm not sure that timeline fits with the rest of these guys, because even if you make a trade for one of those guys, is the rest of the roster ready to win big? Or should this be a team who simply see how it goes in what appears to be a clear playoff season, which at least for this show is up for debate. Doesn't look like that right now. So
yeah,
they beat the Thunder, half a game behind them. They split the season series so far. We know the Thunder put it on the Rockets in early November. Now we see the Rockets get a little get back. I mentioned Fred VanVleet, 38 points. Great from the line. Got to the line a lot. He got to the line 14 times, made 13. Good from three, which is something we like to see. And an all-around great basketball game. Gilgeous-Alexander is on the other side doing his thing. So
yeah,
you just go, that's a good game. The Rockets came out on top, and they made enough plays down the stretch. It doesn't speak to who's better or worse. I mean, we assume the Thunder, when they get Chet Holmgren back, will be better. But up until that point, right now, in a game that happened on a Sunday night, Rockets got a win. Doesn't speak to a giant shift in what the league is going to look like and what the Rockets can be in the Western Conference. But no, they're going to be competitive. And their style of play allows them to not be great shooting, although they were better last night. Take it back. Fred VanVleet was better last night. The rest of those guys were a combined under 40%, closer to 30% or so, 35% or so.
Even that, that is what it tells me, is that the Rockets can play, like both teams can play a pretty normal game for them where it's not like super outlier stuff happening. And the Rockets can sit there and trade punches with the best team in the Western Conference.
I think that's not a bad point to take away from it.
Whether we think they're going to be the two seed, the one seed, two seed, or I mean, now it's crazy that we go, or they could even be the five seed, a reasonable, where for us that would have been
losing out on home court advantage.
yeah.
right now feels like it's 21 games. I'm not even going to say it feels like a disappointment. No, I don't know.
But if you say it, it sounds like you're a hater.
Yeah,
where you're
true.
Like, I don't think they're going to finish with a top four record in the West.
If you say the bottom could fall out a little bit and they're not a top four team in the West, it sounds like you're insulting them. They haven't gone, not that it's guaranteed they have to, but they have not gone on what you would even consider a losing streak. So
yeah.
If one of those happens, the conversation might change. Yes, the NBA. At some point, you're going to drop a couple unless you're one of the best teams, a dominant team.
Didn't the Celtics have like a 4-game losing streak in like March of last year? Like, good teams have long losing streaks.
And the Rockets have yet to have one.
Late in the year.
They have yet to have one. So we'll see if they avoid it. We don't know. But just a night where, as you talked about, it wasn't an outlier night for the entire roster. You had a great night from Fred VanVleet.
Yeah.
And you played one of the best teams of basketball toe-to-toe and came off the win.
But we've seen games where one team comes out and they shoot 10 for 13 from three to start the game. And it's just like, oh, cool. Game's over.
Tonight's not going to be that.
Yeah, let's see what HBO Max has. Or you see the flip side where a team goes random number, 0 for 27 from three. And you just, oh, this team just, that's kind of why they lost. Like, there's not a lot to analyze here. It's like, well, they missed all their shots. They made all their shots. Cool. This wasn't that situation. It was two teams that you got a reasonable, like, good game from Fred VanVleet. You're not going to get that every night, but that is, like, what a good Fred VanVleet night gets you, and he has a good number.
Yeah, and it wasn't just against a slappy. It wasn't against some bad basketball team. It was, I would say, like the Javon Green Sixers game. It was against a good team who it happened. He had a great night. Just against a bad basketball team.
You disrespected him a little bit.
I said he had a great night. I'm more disrespecting the Sixers.
You said a slappy team. I'm
insulting the Sixers. What he did.
It cheapens the achievement of Jalen Green.
Yes. Opponent matters. If you beat up on a bad Sixers team, it doesn't mean as much as what Fred VanVleet did last night.
I'll be honest. I mean, I didn't watch the Sixers-Rockets game over the break.
There's no reason.
And I I get the alert, and I saw that Jalen Green had 41 points, and I literally just said to myself, of course he did.
Yeah,
Against the Sixers, and like we weren't going to talk about it for a week. And so it's like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
It'll be a forgot. When we were like, man, when's the last time Jalen Green's had a good game?
We'll have to.
The
Sixers, right?
When no one was watching.
Hopefully, we don't have to think that hard, and they'll come more frequently. We just haven't seen it that much this year. But as far as what happened last night, the Rockets beat a nearly whole Thunder team. I mentioned no Chet Holmgren, but it wasn't like short rest, injured guys. That was a team who was trying, who was in it, and you came out on top. You had a big fourth quarter. You were down in that game going into the fourth, and you outscored them by it. Your defense locked down, and that's something they can always lean on, and you got a great performance from your point guard to win.
Yeah, but now, you know, you get to celebrate for a little bit. You got to be ready for Tuesday night, cup night.
So haven't they already clinched?
They've already clinched, but they can clinch home court in the quarterfinals.
And they have the Kings, a Kings team who is not playing well. Not playing. Lost the last couple games.
Can't overlook anyone in the cup, Dell.
Understood. Throw the records out. You got that special floor. Gets everyone excited.
The Sacramento Kings are 0-3 in the NBA Cup.
Yeah, so it didn't get them that excited. But you do go to Sacramento. We'll see how that plays out for the Rockets. Willie P, I see you. Hold on. We'll get to you. You want to talk soccer. I wonder what it could be. Do you want to talk about Puig playing with an ACL tear for like 30 minutes for the Galaxy? I'm not sure. It just says soccer. We'll talk to Willie P when we come back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
All right, let's get to Willie P before we go. What's up, Willie P?
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Good morning, man. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. You know, I can't call it. Real quick, I just want to get to three quick things. Number one, shout out to Apple and MLS for getting I guess their so-called dream MLS Cup matchup, coast versus coast, you know, LA Galaxy versus New York Red Bulls. One. Two, shout-out Ruben Amorim, Manchester United's new manager. I know you saw that thumping we put on Everton, Lance's Everton, yesterday, 4-0. I can see the vision, and I got hope for our future. And oddly enough, as bad as Ten Hag was, we're only 4 points behind the top four, so that's pretty amazing. And three, shout out to Sean A. Mapes, but can we all agree that what's the quarterback for Texas name?
Quinn Ewers.
Quinn Ewers is basically the Kirk Cousins of the NFL. Ooh. Like, at no point do I ever feel confident with him on the field, and he's bound to do something stupid to throw the game at risk. I like don't ever feel confident Texas is going to win unless they're like 2 minutes left in the game and they're up by 21 points. But anyways, you guys have a great afternoon. Sean A. Mapes, what do you do, baby? Peace.
It'll be surprising to know I wasn't locked in on Manchester United versus Everton.
Lance is Everton?
It is the team he roots for. He decided to pick. They weren't as bad when he made his decision, but they are relegation fighting for like most of his fandom at this point. As far as Quinn Ewers, well, we did have a Kirk Cousins discussion before the show.
Yeah. And Quinn Ewers came up.
Quinn Ewers did come up mostly because they're pick sixes. Now, Quinn had his tipped.
Yeah. In fact, it was more insulting to Kirk Cousins because I said that their pick sixes look exactly the same, except that Quinn Ewers' pick six got tipped at the line.
Yeah, there's a reason why Quinn Ewers threw that airplane out, the paper airplane out there. What Kirk Cousins was doing in a game where the Chargers could do nothing offensively, and in the game, I think, was 10-9, they were driving. He throws an awful out route, just floated it out there, got picked. The Chargers pick it off, run it back, and then convert the two-point conversion, and they don't score another point all game. It did not matter because Kirk Cousins was well on his way to throwing four picks in that game. They missed a chip shot field goal. The Falcons are doing everything they can to hasten Michael Penix getting in there. I don't know if they'll do it because they're still in the race for the NFC South.
Yeah.
But Kirk Cousins isn't doing himself any favors. And
now, who's that sound like?
Well,
backup quarterback, but the team is slightly too successful to come in?
Well, Texas ain't slightly too successful. They're a win away from winning the SEC with one loss. I think Arch did score a touchdown against A&M.
Trust me, I noticed.
Yeah, everyone did.
I noticed that.
Is Quinn going to be your Chris Leak and Arch going to be your Tim Tebow on the way to a title?
All the comps are so funny because when he came in, I was like, oh yeah, they did this with Tyrone Swoops back in my day.
Yeah,
last year they did it with Savion Redd, and now they're doing it with Peyton Manning's nephew
for the run to the title. Does Arch become your short yardage quarterback, just plowing over guys?
I mean, in all seriousness, maybe he becomes the red zone quarterback because
he can run a little bit.
I have some issues with to my knowledge, he didn't turn the ball over in the red zone.
Yeah, yeah.
And like the other guy can't say that.
And as long as he's just making zone read decisions.
Yeah, I mean, you can have him throw it. It's not – he's not actually Savion Redd. Like, you can have
– I would be a little hesitant.
He's going to be the starting quarterback.
Understood.
He started this year.
I remember. Just run the ball. Let him make give or keep decisions. Don't throw the other option to throw the ball in the mix as well.
Okay.
Just hey, what you did on Saturday, good.
Zone read.
Keep
zone
doing
read.
That stuff.
Maybe, you know, zone read. Pop pass. Gunner Helm.
Yes. That's the one I would allow. I don't need Arch throwing outside the hashes. In tight quarters.
I'm not sure if I need Quinn to do that either.
Yeah, that goes without saying. But as far as
also,
Arch
don't run the ball.
As far as like Arch in the game, stay within the hashes, make give or keep decisions, and maybe because somebody likes to dial up a couple plays. Let Sark get a guy wide open and then Arch can make a play without having to make a real decision. So we'll get into more of what happened in that A&M Texas game. We didn't get to talk a lot about it outside of making fun of Quinn Ewers, I guess. We can get into
how'd that happen?
Because Sean's here. Look at that. We might get into the Aggies' ineptitude on offense and the rivalry coming back and Texas establishing dominance, at least in year one of the rivalry's return, as they knocked the Aggies out of playoff contention. And now they can secure themselves not only a top seed, but an SEC title and a first-round bye if they can get some revenge on the Georgia Bulldogs. Okay. Shout-out to Willie for echoing the same thing Sean has been talking about all year long when it comes to the Texas quarterback. Welcome. Welcome, Willie. We appreciate that. Gaunt and George are up next, followed by the Killer Bees. Since we're done,
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.